and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit carersolutions.com.au.
We're in it again. The thick of it.
Right in the thick of it.
Is that a thing?
I think it's Annie, maybe. Is in the thick of it?
The play?
Yeah.
Or the person that works here?
Play, obviously.
Well, I don't know.
But also, yeah, she's always in the thick of it.
She's always in the... Annie is always in the thick of it. Good on you, Annie, if you are listening to this.
Which you definitely are.
I know she listens. It's all right. I don't think that's rude to say that she listens.
She can sing as well, and I was singing, so...
All right. So you're doing an Annie impression.
Must have been.
Well, I guess listeners of the podcast would know that that's the person that was on yesterday's podcast. There you go. It's Em's impression of that woman.
Right in the thick of it.
She's always saying that. Always, always, always. All right. What have we got for today's podcast, Em?
Well, I went to my cousin's house yesterday, and... Yeah. My aunt, no, I was going to tell you the exact same story I told you on air.
The exhilarating story.
No, we were chatting. I haven't really spent much time with her for quite a while. Mm. And we were chatting about our other cousins, and we were chatting about, you know, all four of my cousins are in different situations in life.
Okay.
And it was a really interesting conversation because you realize that it doesn't really matter, you know, marital status, child status, etc. There are always things that could be better. And I think it's such human nature thing to look at other people's stuff and be like, ah, damn, I wish I had that.
Interesting.
So it's just like a nice realization, I think, for me.
So what's wrong with their families?
No, there's nothing wrong. But like, for example,
I'm
not married and I don't have any children. And then three out of my four cousins are married and they have children.
Mm.
And, you know,
kids are idiots.
One of them's a business owner with their husband,
uh-huh.
and, you know, on paper it looks awesome and perfect. But then, of course, there's always going to be, you know, turbulence.
Mm, mm.
It was just a nice reminder for me that, you know, you're doing okay.
Oh, yeah, certainly doing okay.
Is this the kind of stuff I should bring to the podcast? Just like a nice kind of human assertion?
It's not what I would traditionally would bring, but it's something. Oh, it's certainly something.
Do you want to start again?
No, I'll include it. I think it's a nice message to send. The podcast doesn't really ever send affirmations.
Well, here you are. This is your first ever podcast affirmation, Nick and Jules listeners.
There was a very brief time when on air I would start every morning show. It was like a week that I did it, where I started every day by saying an affirmation.
I love that. Yeah. What were some of them? Do you remember?
No clue.
Okay.
No clue.
Fair enough.
Because they're all fairly generic. One of the, you know, there was all on lines of live, laugh, love, which we should all could stand to live a little more, laugh a little more, and you better believe it.
Love a little less.
Yeah. Speaking of loving a little less,
yes.
Did you see there was like a panel interview with Drew Barrymore recently, and her stalker like rushed the stage because weird title love, but like he obviously is a very big fan. And it was, you know, I think they like arrested him. I think he's now being detained and they're sort of doing some extra steps to make sure that, you know, Drew Barrymore's stalker doesn't get to him. Uh-huh. But it makes me go, imagine being that into someone or something that you go to those lengths. Like you can delude yourself. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty wild. But also, I mean, I can understand it from the perspective of, obviously this person probably has some mental health situation.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah, it must be, right? Like, it must be some version of obsessive
something.
But
in saying that, I know quite a few people that are super fans of stuff.
Yeah.
Would they rush the stage of that person? I don't know.
Where's the line between super fan and stalker?
Yeah, exactly.
What are they super fans of? And let's try and find where the line is for them.
Well, I know someone that really loves Machine Gun Kelly.
Weird. That's a weird one to be a super fan of. He seems like a weird guy.
I know. Who else do I know? Super fans. Ooh, D&D. I've got friends that are really into like Dimension 20, like really into it.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they probably, I mean, they go to like the live shows and stuff when they can.
I went to a live show for one podcast recently. Do you know NADPOD?
Yeah, that's what they went to.
Yeah, I went to NADPOD.
Did you rush the stage?
I did. And I was promptly escorted.
Wait a minute. So are you a fan of D&D?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Are you really?
Don't play that often because it's very rare to like, because it's like hard to find a group that you're happy with. I've played it only a couple of times, but I love the podcast, love the concept of the game, love the lore and everything. Love the
You're
mechanics.
Such a surprising human being. Yeah. Like some, I don't mean that as a compliment necessarily.
No, you
I
should.
Guess I did.
I do. Yeah.
I did, but sometimes I don't want to be too nice.
There's layers to me.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, what are we 9 days in to my tenure now? And that's what we're calling it.
Yeah.
9 days into my tenure, and I feel like almost every day there's something that shocks me about you. You know, sometimes it's how rude you are. Yeah.
How much of a prick you are.
But that's so interesting. D&D, yeah. You're an interesting man, Nick.
I do genuinely believe that everyone should encompass magnitudes, you know? Like, there's, you know, you can have more than one thing to you.
Like evil, what is it, neutral good and that sort of thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I guess if you want to talk specific D&D, like, you know, chaotic good and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, so that is what you're talking about.
I think I'm chaotic good, actually, now that I think about it.
I think you're chaotic neutral.
Or,
yeah, you definitely don't give me the good vibe.
Well, I think
very chaotic. Yes,
in my mind, I'm inherently good, but I understand I do that with some level of chaos. But I suppose that's what everyone who's chaotic thinks.
That's right.
Isn't that interesting? But no,
I think I would be chaotic good.
Yeah. No. All right.
Do you agree?
Chaotic good. I think you'd be. Oh, I can't remember what all the alignments are, but I think there's like a neutral good.
Yeah, that's what I called you.
Do you think I'm neutral good?
That's what I told. That's what I just said, Nick. Do you listen to me?
I'm pretty certain you said chaotic good, but that's fine.
No, you said
chaotic neutral.
Isn't that
what? No, hang on. No, I said we just a moment ago said that I was chaotic neutral.
Yes.
And I just said that you were neutral good.
I don't think that exists.
That's one of the alignments. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
Pretty certain. Yeah, I think.
So
it's a version of that.
Okay. So Nick thinks I'm boring.
Well, no, I think neutral's like arguably one of the better ones to be because it means that you're not your decisions are not predetermined by like necessarily pre-existing thoughts, I suppose.
True.
So that's not like you go like you know not that because and I think you'd probably argue and you know me off air to a degree now that some of my predetermined thoughts are of cynicism, so
yes,
and pessimism. So
if I had to put a percentage on your thoughts, I would say probably 75% pessimism and cynicism.
I would say cynicism, not necessarily too much pessimism.
Sure.
There's certainly pessimism in there, but more cynicism than anything.
Yeah, yeah, you're definitely a cynical man.
But yeah, no, big fan of D&D. Have you listened to the podcast, NADPOD?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, I have seen some Dimension 20. Is that the...
Dimension 20 has some of the characters, so like... Two of the four from NADPOD are part of Dimension 20, and occasionally they'll do guest spots.
Is one of them their name's Emily?
Emily Axford.
Yeah, there you go.
So she's one of the goes between the two.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are married.
Emily is married to a guy called Brian.
See, I know some of that because I go out to dinner with these friends that absolutely adore it, and they kind of talk at me about it, and I soak in some things, and definitely not a lot of the other things.
That's fair. That's great. actually, this is, I apologize to people listening. I'm going to quickly reference an off-air conversation we had about how, remember I talked about those College Humor guys that are like Jake and Amir?
Yeah.
So Jake is one of the guys from NADPOD. And so when I had interviewed him, this was pre like Dungeons and Dragons days, but that's like why I initially started listening to NADPOD because I was like, oh, I like this guy.
Right.
And then discovered that I like Dungeons and Dragons. But yes.
Right. Well, some of the Dimension 20 people are in Dropout.
Yeah.
Like Noise Boys and that thing that I was talking about.
Yeah. No more off-air conversations like that. But yes, I think it would surprise a few people that I guess as well that I am interested in Dungeons and Dragons. I think I like to think that I have a very broad variety of general interests.
Yeah, I would say that.
The ones that like are more in your face are the ones that I do engage in every day, which is versions like exercise and like that style. But like there's so much.
Would you ever bring some of your, you know, D&D kind of improv stuff to the forefront on air?
I think improv is there by default most of the time.
No, I mean, you are improvising, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, your interest in improv. Like, would you ever verbalize that on air?
I would, if it was in the right context, yes. But I think it's also like, there's a level of relatability that isn't there. And I think I'd have to explain too much. And therefore, just from a radio perspective, that's too much to sort of delve into, I think. Like, you know, if we were talking about boyfriend contracts, on like a long distance relationship contract on the show this morning. Now, not that obviously improv would come up, but if it came up in the context of that, I think if I started explaining the concept of improv and then was like, anyway, boyfriend contracts, that would be a bit messy.
Sure, but can I just call you a nerd every now and then?
Yeah. So I think I don't think I'm a closet nerd because I'm like, I think I'm open about when I am like have very much interested in those things and do want to play. Like my night.
You're also a bit of a radio nerd.
Yeah, Yeah. Nerd in many regards, but I don't think it's like as noticed. Not closeted, I just like don't not open about it. Maybe that is closeted.
I was just about to say, like, by definition, that is closeted.
Interesting. Oh, maybe this.
Do you feel maybe a little bit embarrassed by those interests?
No, not at all.
No,
not in the slightest. Because I genuinely believe, like, because I think that my approach to life in general, the more I consider myself to be a chameleon in many regards. Like, you know, I can fit in with many different people, and because of my interests, I feel comfortable in many instances.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can't really vibe with, you know. If my soccer crew was like, oh, Nick's like Dungeons and Dragons, I'd be like, well, fuck yeah. Like, you know, like.
Are you allowed to say that on the podcast?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so. I mean, don't be too over the top, but yeah, like, you know, one or two per, you know.
Really?
Certainly been in, you know, if you're a boss listening right now to like air check us, we've said it in other episodes before and we've asked and it's been fine. So.
This is a sting operation to get you.
You are an undercover. You're actually one of our content. You're Dave Cameron.
Yes, exactly.
And Grant Blackley and. Whoever the new CEO is, I'm not really sure, but we should probably know. Kieran, maybe? Culkin? Macaulay? Is Macaulay Culkin?
Is that you? Are you home alone again?
Oh, that is actually, I mean, this is, you know, we're going to call this the business podcast because it's just lots of like little bits of weird things I wanted to tie up chat-wise with you.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I haven't had a chance to chat to you about, and saying Culkin just reminded me of it. Do you know where I'm going with this? Probably not. I realize it's too long of a bow to draw.
What is happening?
Succession.
Yes.
Yes. You've watched all of Succession?
Correct.
I've watched all of Succession. I haven't run into anyone in real life just yet that has seen all of Succession to talk about the ending of Succession with. The reason why I say Culkin is because the character Roman.
Yes, is played by his brother.
Macaulay Culkin's brother, which I didn't realize until later. But anyway. So spoiler alerts for the next like 5 minutes for quick Succession chat. Did you like the ending?
Can I just reiterate? Don't listen because we will spoil it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Did I like the ending? I thought the ending was the most realistic.
Yes, because my thought was I didn't like the ending, but I think it was a good ending.
Yeah, you're not supposed to like it. You're supposed to feel uncomfy. You're supposed to be like, what?
Yeah.
And that because that show constantly does that. Like they're all also not nice people.
No.
There's not a redemption arc for any of them. They're all just
I actually think that I think that Roman did actually. I think as far as he ended up being a lot better than he was painted in the first few seasons.
Yeah, he kind of tapered out a bit with his extremism, I think.
I would have been much more okay. I would have been okay with him being ending up as CEO.
There's no way.
I'm saying like of the three options. Like, yeah. It was like, all right. But I also did feel like, because at the end, and people, maybe if you are listening and you don't care about spoiler Succession, the whole storyline revolves around who's going to succeed in this, who's going to be the succession plan, who's going to become the CEO once the father steps down from leading this company.
Yeah.
Between the three siblings, four technically, but three. But at the back end of the very last episode when they're about to vote and Shiv just like pulls the vote and like, you know, screws them, that kind of did really cut, like, I really didn't expect that to happen. Like, in retrospect, I go, oh, okay, yeah, that makes a bit of sense. Like, you know, she didn't care for, like, didn't really care about her brothers in that regard. But I was like, oh, that was weird. I kind of really thought that was going to go ahead and become something.
But they did that so many times.
That was
repetitive. It was always, okay, yep, we've come back together as a family. Okay, yep, we're one united front. And they couldn't do it. And that's why they ended up where they ended up because they literally just could never genuinely be okay with another one of them being the successor.
It would be so hard.
Or, yeah, of course. It would be so hard. But also like, come on, like get over it. Like just let him be the CEO. Like, let him make his bed in that case, you know, like he probably would have screwed it up and then be terrible.
If he screws it up, then you're right. And if he doesn't, then you make a lot of money. And
exactly.
It is very
strange.
But
it did irk me big time that Tom was the one that
ends up being the CEO.
He's the worst. Like he's such a disgusting character.
I found his character to be really good though, because I was overarchingly, yeah, a bit of a piece of shit, like a bit gross, slimy. But then I also saw that so much of what he dealt with, and I go like he obviously is inherently like that anyway. But then how he had to be that way to survive within that family.
He did not
like,
have to be that way with Greg.
No, you are right. Yes, Greg was. You want to talk about the one redeeming character? I think Greg got a. Was there any point in the show where you thought, does cousin Greg end up running this company?
Yeah,
I slurred through that. But definitely. Yes, does cousin Greg end up running this company?
Yeah, 100%.
Part of me went like, It doesn't make any sense, but it would be like, you know, it could be a weird spite move. I thought that would have been really funny if he
again, he would be wildly underqualified. It's the same if Roman became CEO. He'd be wildly underqualified.
You might as well put Roman in. Yeah,
exactly.
No, because
it's definitely
very good
not
character.
The woman, though. Definitely not.
Well, wasn't that really just drilled home at various points?
Honestly, so crappy. But also, like, again, just a really kind of, yep, that mirrors society. So it was a hard show to watch. Like, I remember episodes where I would feel sick afterwards.
Yeah. It was also, at a lot of points, like, I haven't really seen a show like that for a long time, but like really funny in points as well.
Oh, of course.
Oh my! Like
the
I know
dark
that's why
humor in it is
it
so
was,
funny.
It was next level. Some of the jokes in there. I was like, this is
brilliant
is
show. If you haven't watched it, we've just spoiled it entirely. But do go back and watch it.
Yeah, if you've scrubbed ahead and you've ended up at this very moment, it's very much one of the best shows I've watched in recent years. Worth your time. I watched it. I only got into it like after it had all come out anyway. So I had like 4 seasons to binge.
So good.
Yeah. And also like, I think they're like 8 to 10 episode seasons. Like
it's decent.
Pretty manageable. Mm. Like they're longer episodes. That's very HBO. Like to go the full hour, but whatever. What are you going to do?
You're going to watch it because it's great.
Yeah. I also didn't expect, one last thing before we move on and give you the rest of the best bits for the show because this is running along. At the end, I don't know what nationality it was, the Scandi guy, the James Madison or whatever. Like, I really didn't expect that company to end up winning and buying out, but I guess that was obviously the point of CEO being changed or whatever.
And also, like, the fact that his company was a bit dodgy and still winning.
Won. Yeah. Like, they lied about their numbers.
But again, it's that's the brilliant thing about that series. The bad guy
usually wins.
Yeah,
that's business.
And again, reality, the bad guy usually wins. Disgusting, terrible, gut-wrenching, true.
We started this podcast with some really positive affirmations, and now we're like, the bad guy always wins. There's no point. What is the point of life? All right.
Nah, but keep trying, I reckon.
Oh, give it a go.
Give it a go, yeah.
Give it a whirl. Maybe you could be the succession plan.
Live your dreams. What's the worst that could happen? You don't. No, okay.
Be a cousin Greg, don't be a Tom, and maybe you could end up as CEO. Probably not, though. But enjoy the rest of the podcast. Who's a game where we put two things head to head, and Em, you have to decide who's the best around. Earlier this week, we heard that some scientists over in the States are at Stanford University. In 1983, they sent out a message to the other side of the universe. As of 7 o'clock yesterday morning, we were supposed to have heard back. We didn't. They're hoping to hear back from aliens. Very unfortunate.
Well, there's still time.
That's true.
That was like the soonest it could have happened. So today, it could also happen. You never know.
They might have been in the shower. I couldn't get to their phone in time.
Yeah.
So today, in honor of the aliens we haven't heard from, I'm putting up for you, Em, a bunch of alien movies. Movies that feature aliens. Mm-hmm. No, they're set in space. They've got a bunch of aliens in them. And to see how much money they have made at the box office.
Okay.
And in their times together. To kick things off, two absolute classics. We've got E.T., the extraterrestrial, up against the very first Star Wars movie, A New Hope. Which has made more money? Who's the best around?
Is this in like ever or in the weekend that it came out box office?
In ever.
Okay. That's a tricky one because they're both so iconic. I will go with Star Wars because...
It's Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. Star Wars, A New Hope, in its lifetime has made at the box office, like through re-releases, et cetera, has made $1.19 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good amount of money, I think. You know, congratulations to everyone that got a chunk of that coin. E.T., the extraterrestrial, made itself $1.2 billion. Oh. I know. So very, very, very close. There's only a sort of a, you know, 100,000 or 100 million.
Depending how you look at it, that's a lot of money.
It's certainly a lot of money. More than we'll ever see in our life. On to the next. War of the Worlds, the Tom Cruise movie from 2005.
Okay.
An adaptation of course, the very famous War of the Worlds book. Up against a more recent film. Technically speaking, this is an alien movie because most of the characters in it are aliens. But Guardians of the Galaxy, the Marvel movie. Oh, with an incredible soundtrack to boot as well.
I'm so bad at this game, and I feel like I'm going to be wrong, but I have to back my Guardians because I love them, I love that movie. So I'm going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy.
It is a pretty reasonable guess. So War of the Worlds has made itself $930 million since its 2005 release. Guardians of the Galaxy, Here's the thing. It's a Marvel movie. Marvel movies make a ton of money. Guardians of the Galaxy has made itself as well $1.19 billion. All right. We've got ourselves a win on the board for you there, Em.
I think that might be the first one ever. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's not bad. And then to round things out, we've got some heavyweights. Star Trek, of course, the rival to Star Wars. Star Trek going up against Men in Black.
I mean, obviously it wins on soundtrack.
Certainly. I don't know. I couldn't tell you one banger from Star Trek.
Neither. So the original Men in Black.
The original Men in Black. Like versus... the first one with Will Smith and mm-hmm. is it Tommy Lee Jones. And then you've got Star Trek, the original motion picture from 1979. Which one of them made more money?
Well, in the first question, I went with the cult one, Star Wars.
Yep.
And that didn't win. It lost to E.T. So yes. I'm thinking I've got to go with Men in Black in this one.
This one, one of our closest ones.
Oh, no.
And there's also a lot of money involved, so it's not that close in the grand scheme. But Star Trek making $826 million in its lifetime run at the box office with re-releases. Men in Black coming in with $910 million.
Ain't bad.
Congratulations, Em. You've managed to get 2 out of 3. It's a lot of money. It turns out we bloody love aliens. That's how you play Who's? Who's?
Know someone who would make a great disability support worker, whether it's a friend or a neighbour? You could employ them. To find out more, visit carersolutions.com.au.
I hope none of our bosses are listening right now.
Well.
Please tune out if you're one of my bosses.
If they are listening, might I just say, Mel, your beard and goatee looking especially ravishing today.
Matt, like your glasses.
That's not what she was saying in the songs, mate.
So, a couple of days ago, I came in studio and I was like, oh, I'm at the moment I'm using a work ute. I'm using like a, you know, a branded car.
Yeah.
And because I'm here filling in for Jules. And I went to the car park the other day and I saw these massive kind of like dents in the side of the van and the ute. And I was like, I didn't do those, right? But I'm a very, like I'm a little bit of a goody two shoes.
Oh, right.
So I immediately took pictures and I sent it to my office and I was like, hey, I didn't do these, but have these been like registered as a thing on this ute? Because they're definitely here.
Like when something goes wrong and it's not your fault, you take evidence. Like when you're moving into a house before you do the bond and everything.
Yeah.
Like when you're going into a crime scene, you take pictures of the body. This body was here when I got here. I swear to God.
So I've sent these pictures and I've said, hey, were these here the whole time? Because I definitely didn't do them, but they're here, right? And my colleagues were like, oh, there were dents, but I didn't know they were that bad. We'll have someone come and have a look at it. As long as the film wrap, which has the branding, isn't ripped, then it probably was prior to the wrapping. So you're in the clear, basically. And I was like, oh, good, because I could not have this, you know, against my name. That is just horrific if you thought it was me.
I'm known in the industry for never doing this to a car.
Right. You know, I have my standards. I want people to know that I am a good and safe driver. So I went out of my way to make a fuss about this stuff that I didn't do, right?
Okay.
Yesterday morning, coming into work.
Oh, the 4-car pile up on the hill?
No, we shouldn't joke about that. But I was parking the car, hit a pole.
Yeah.
So I hadn't dented the car.
Yeah, we've got evidence. Go across to the scene right now. Not an ideal way to start the day, I would think.
No, I was so stressed. And also the worst part about this story is like I had gone so far out of my way to say like I did not do these dents. Like this was not me. Like, Your Honor, please, right?
Now and it seems incredibly suspicious, doesn't it? It seems like, oh, yeah, no, I didn't do these ones. I did this one. Well, can we trust it?
No, you can trust me because I've been honest about the whole thing.
That's what like, a criminal would say.
From start to finish.
Criminals are notoriously quite honest about their misdemeanors. A prenup, obviously, we know what that is. It's a contract that you sign before you go into your marriage that, you know what, it says, hey, things end poorly, you can't take my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My stuff is my stuff. This contract is just the nup. Nope, no chance. It's weird. Why would you sign it? One woman, a TikToker, has gone a little bit viral the last couple of days because she and her boyfriend are about to enter into a long-distance relationship, and she has drafted a legal document, the Long Distance Agreement, which is a contract of the terms and conditions of their long-distance relationship.
Okay. I'm kind of on board.
Well, I've got some of the details for you, and it makes me go, this is, look, they obviously care enough about each other, and I think it's kind of a half joke, but then there's obviously some insecurities sort of embedded in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, okay, well, look, it's concerning for someone. Apparently they've been watching Suits a bit too much. And they're going like, all right, we've got to get a document drafted up.
Yes.
Her name, they're over in the States. It's Devon and Garen. Incredible names. Garen, never heard of that name before, but Garen signed the contract, so he's obviously on board. The contract stipulates that, according to the contract, they are not allowed to break up on or after September 1st, 2024.
On or after?
Yeah, I know. So it's like,
so if
you can break up between now and then, but if you're here on the 1st of September, 2024, sorry, babe, you're in forever.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and well, he signed it, so he's obviously on board. There's a whole list of, I guess, requirements and T's and C's in this long-term relationship, this long-distance relationship. I'll rattle through some of them for you, Em.
Mm-hmm.
All issues with the opposite party are required to be brought to the attention of the party in question. So I guess you've got a problem with me, say something. That's fair. Arguments must result in a resolution.
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't leave an argument open or else ideally, you hate each other and you've broken up.
Every call seen must be answered.
What?
Okay, well, what if I'm in the shower and I see it? I'm like, I'm not jumping out of the shower. What if I'm doing number twos?
What if you're like,
not in
what
the shower,
what if he's on air, for example? Like if my phone's ringing right now, I'm not answering my phone, am I?
No. Well, your boyfriend, he obviously didn't sign the agreement, didn't sign the contract. Location on your phone must always be turned on.
No, that's a lot.
This is where it starts to descend into a bit.
You don't trust this person.
Yeah. Mm. Another one. We must call at least once every day.
Okay. I respect that. Long distance. You do need that connection.
Yeah. It's a lot though, isn't it?
I guess sometimes you could be busy, but even still, like just a three-second phone call, hey, love you, bye.
Hey, we still got the contract, don't worry about me, bang. then if you think that's fine, like, you know, you're busy, you're not going to like this next one, for this long-distance relationship contract, M. Keeping continuous contact throughout the day. Well, come on now. Give me a break. Keeping continuous contact throughout the day.
What's continuous? Like, do you have to have your phone on a phone call all day? So it's just like, always continuously.
Like they're living through a butt dial.
Yeah. Or is it just like, you know, a text every hour? How continuous is continuous? I would have follow-up questions if I was the guy.
And last but not least, which is always give me extra reassurance that you're not cheating.
What?
So like, okay, well, yeah, but it's always
extra reassurance.
Extra. So he's obviously giving some and it's just going, not enough.
Wow.
Babe, I didn't cheat. Nope. Give me extra. I really didn't cheat. Thank you very much.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit carersolutions.com.au.